Radio 4. It's 8:30. Saturday Night Theatre.
Lord of the Dance, a play for radio by Michael Davis, with Jeremy Clyde as Stephen Gilvan and Denise Brier as his wife, Frances. Lord of the Dance.
Mr. Preston, the circulation, please. Mr. Preston, the circulation.
Yes, all right, then, lead it. I'll get clearance for you by 2 o'clock and I'll call you back. Cheers. Features. Hold on. Peter G to you, Francis.
Thanks.
Francis? No, not until Wednesday. Talk to Mavis. She has all the details. Yeah. Wednesday. Bye.
This has to be downstairs in 15 minutes, Harry. Delete from his lone furrow, remarkable only for the size of its worms and the nastiness of its beasties, through to here. To change is to decline.
Yeah.
That brings it down to 3,500. Right away, okay?
Right away, Francis.
Sir Harry Rawson's office have penciled in 11:15 on the 17th, Miss Gilvan.
Ring it in red, Mavis, my love. Ring it in red.
Yes, Miss
Gilvan. Mr. Clark on nine, please. Mr. Clark on nine.
Yes?
Can you come in for a minute, Francis?
Right. Harry, when I'm through with the chief, I'm away till middle afternoon, okay? Sudden death, fire or flood, and you can reach me at Lambeth Palace.
Lambeth Palace, okay. Features. For you, Francis.
Francis.
Good morning, Francis.
Stephen!
How are you fixed? Can you manage a cup of coffee?
Darling, I've got the day stacked up like the sky above London Airport.
Cancel something. Create a little fog on your runway.
Francis, what the hell is keeping you?
I'm coming. Oh, quickly, Stephen, where?
Gino's in 15 minutes.
Right, but for 5 minutes only, mind. Bye. Harry, any calls, make notes. Not in your Swahili-type shorthand. Nice, clear, joined up writing, okay?
I hear you, Master.
Brief and to the point. Okay, Chief, I've got an interview at Lambeth Palace and I'm late.
I'll tell you what's brief and to the point, Francis. You're going to get me into a lot of trouble. That's what's brief and to the point. Samantha Cat, Tiggy the Tiger, and Yum Yum the Bear are not members of Her Majesty's government.
I simply posed the question, if not, why not?
Oh.
If they were, there'd be a swing to play school of 90%. You want me to cut it?
No, leave it in. But if I wind up in prison, just don't come and visit me, that's all.
Hi, Francis. How are you doing?
Spinning like a top, but managing to maintain the vertical. What more can any top hope for? How are you?
Fine.
Ah, coffee in a sticky bun. Lovely. God, I'm starving. I've only got 5 minutes. Right, I'm interviewing a bishop at Lambeth Palace, and I'm late already. All right. What was it that kept you? Hong Kong with the lines down, locked in the boardroom, or sulking because you didn't get your laundry back? How long is it? 3 weeks?
I'm sorry, Francis.
Oh, I was beginning to view buff envelopes with concern.
I called the house how many times? 10 or was it 15? All I could get was Mrs. Harris displaying hysterical collapse symptoms with the kids screaming their heads off in the background. Where were you, for God's sake?
I told you, spinning. Anyway, that's precisely what she has done.
Suffered an hysterical collapse?
They carted her off in a gibbering heap last Saturday night. It was Lindsay's mumps that did it.
Lindsay's had mumps?
You're a great father. You don't even know when your son has mumps.
How could I know if you don't tell me?
You could try being there. Pop in once in a while. Stick them against the wall and measure them or something. They quarantined Kelly with him. She's been roaring around the house like a wounded hippo. Josie's going out of her mind.
And Josie's doing the babysitting.
She is. Bless her cast iron heart. She's out there now wearing earmuffs and an electric prod stick. I'm sponsoring her for the Nobel Prize for Guts. Okay, so you called the house and I wasn't there. Well, why didn't you call me at the office?
Ah, now there I must admit to having let you down. I only called your office 7 times. The man who answers your telephone eventually said, Francis who? You're something of a moving target, my love. Do you know that?
I'm sorry. Am I forgiven?
Oh, forgiven?
How's the world of electronic component manufacture? Are we still hating the Japanese?
Well, there would be no need to hate anyone if those with papers to sign simply sign the damn things. We're having trouble over the licenses for the Picton-Gibbons Bahrain contract.
Can I be of any help?
Help, Francis? In what way?
You're married to the best hitman in the business. Captains of industry and peers of the realm tremble beneath my pointing barrel. Point out your area of frustration, and I'll blast you a new road to the aisles with a few well-chosen phrases in my column. What do you say?
Oh, well, let's hope I don't need anything so violent. The old man has fixed me up with a meeting with Gordon Clayton at 11:30 this morning.
God, how non-violent can you get? Gordon Clayton is so non-violent, he'd bore the socks off an Epstein bronze.
Gordon's all right. You leave him alone. He might not have been a huge success as the company's personnel manager, but he's jolly useful to us as an MP.
Who just happens to be still on your company's payroll. Snivel, snivel, cringe, cringe.
Which is all properly declared in the MP's Register of Additional Income. You must try not to be tiny-minded, dear.
And that gives you a paid-up right to ask favours, is that it?
I ask favours of no one. I leave that to the old man. I'm just the poor bloody managing director running errands for the group chairman.
Why doesn't Lord God Almighty Glengower run his own errands?
You're interfering again. It's one of our little problems, isn't it, Francis, dear? Your inability to mind your own business.
Sorry. Nothing to do with me. You're having contract troubles and you're in London to see Gordon Clayton and not to see me. Having said that, we'll talk about something else, shall we? What shall we talk about?
Oh, Francis, you're priceless.
Priceless like the Kohinoor diamond? Or priceless like the air you breathe?
Oh, which would you prefer to be?
The air you breathe. That way you'd need me more. Honestly, love, this absentee father bit isn't doing the children a damned bit of good. As a matter of fact, it's making things quite hairy.
Okay, pack it in. Bring them down to me.
You're the one who left London to go and manage some godforsaken factory in South Wales. I'm here doing what I've always done. Why should I be the one to pack it in?
Is a career in character assassination important enough to fragment your family for?
Is that how you see my daily outpouring of wit and wisdom? A career in character assassination?
Oh, what you do is fine. Okay. You have a great talent for making people laugh and sending them off to work happy every morning. But I know how important it is, but I need you, Francis. I need you and I need the children. Oh, won't you see it my way, lover? Couldn't someone else write your column?
Couldn't someone else run your damned factory?
So, we reach the same old impasse, is that it?
It would seem so. Oh, well, is this your usual 100-mile-an-hour two-way flip up and down the M4? Or will you actually manage to see the children?
I'm staying the night, Francis.
Because if I tell them that you've been in London and that I've seen you, Kelly will simply detonate. You're staying the night?
That's right, I'm staying the night.
You mean my foolish, fluttering female heart can expect to see the colour of your pyjamas?
That is the general idea.
Toothbrushes in the same glass. Bacon and eggs for breakfast.
Only if you promise to see me away early enough to chair a meeting in Swansea at 11 a.m.
Oh, don't worry, you'll be there. We'll set the alarm for 10:45.
Now, how soon can you get away? Let's make a day of it.
Darling, oh, you're going to hate me. Here you are, being wonderful and generous like an angel from heaven, and I have to be such a bitch. I'm interviewing Bishop Harrington in... Oh, my God, look at the time! I'm lunching in the East End with a man who can whistle through his ears, and there's an editorial meeting called for 3. Oh, why didn't you let me know you were coming?
Well, I tried to. I left a string of messages with your assistant. Well, what's his name? Harry Gould.
I'll murder him. He did 16 weeks in night school doing shorthand, and it comes up looking like a dipsomaniac spider. Oh, look, why don't you take the children out this afternoon? I'll arrive home around 6 o'clock, and perhaps if I offer Josie £10,000, she'll stay with the children until 10, and we can go out for a meal. Oh, think about it. Think about it, darling. I've got a dash. I'm as late as hell for the bishop. Bye, love. I'll see you around 6. Thanks for the sticky bun, and if you don't get any help from Gordon Clayton, tell him I'll write something rude about him in the newspaper. Goodbye, darling.
Bye, Francis.
Morning, Miss Gilvan. Where to, miss?
Lambeth Palace, Fred, and step on it. I'm late.
Who've you got on the block this morning, miss? The Archbishop of Canterbury?
Et tu, Brute?
Come again, miss?
Nothing, Fred, nothing. Just drive a taxi.
Mr. Stephen Gilvan to see you, sir.
Stephen, my dear chap, how nice to see you. Do come along in.
Good morning, Gordon.
A coffee in 5 minutes, Miss Crawshaw?
Certainly, Mr. Clayton.
Ah, do sit down, Stephen. Sorry to have kept you waiting. I have this recurring nightmare. My in-basket topples over and my muffled cries for help are lost beneath a mountain of forms. Sorry about that.
Oh, no need to apologize, Gordon. I spent an entertaining half hour sitting in the public gallery listening to Ralph Bately holding forth on an amendment to procedure bill.
Ah.
He was on a good script, I'll say that for him.
Sound chap, Bately. Full of histrionic claptrap, of course, but he means what he says. High praise, considering where we are.
Oh, you sound a bit off-put by it all, Gordon.
Oh, not really. I spent far too long on the fringe of politics to be disillusioned now. We who start late often finish sooner than the rest, Stephen. Perhaps Benja's food is the answer, I don't know.
Back to Francis' non-violence.
Sorry, old chap.
Oh, it was something that was said earlier on, Gordon, a private joke. I'm sorry. Please, do go on.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Jolly amusing young woman, your wife, Stephen. Read her column every morning, wouldn't miss it. Helps to keep the commons in perspective, if you know what I mean.
Even when she knocks you sideways?
Even more when she knocks the sideways. Well, most of the time, anyway. Ah, coffee. Thank you, Miss Crawshaw.
Thank you, sir.
Smells good.
Black or white, Mr. Gilvan?
Black, please. One sugar.
Has Frances any idea of the influence she wields?
Mm-hmm. Well, let us say that she is aware of a certain shock ground wave, but I don't think she believes that anyone takes her very seriously.
Oh, it goes a good deal further than that. Thank you, Miss Crawshaw. No calls for the next few minutes.
Very good, sir.
Take this Harry Rawson interview she's doing on the 17th.
Chairman of BTI.
Oh, we all know what an unconscionable rogue Sir Harry is, of course, but is now the time for Francis to be telling the nation so? I think not, Stephen. If Francis is unaware of her weight of influence, then she should be told of its existence and its dimension straight away, before any harm is done. Don't you agree?
I really don't think anyone will take whatever she says very seriously, Gordon. As you say, Sir Harry Rawson is a well-known character. It'll be taken from where it comes, so to speak.
Then let me put you in the picture. An immense amount of harm could be done if Frances were to exercise her considerable literary skill upon Harry Rawson just now. She's prepared to wait a couple of months until certain negotiations are completed. Then she can say whatever she damn well pleases, but not just at the moment. You are seeing Francis before you return to South Wales, Stephen?
I am.
And then a word in her ear, dear boy. Tell her that the powers that be would be grateful if she were to sheathe her claws for a while. Better still, if she were to drop the Harry Rawson interview altogether. Will you do that, Stephen?
But this isn't your idea, Gordon. You've been asked to do this.
I have.
May I ask by whom?
It's an odd thing about anonymity, Stephen. It allows a latitude of expression normally denied to us. It's only by allowing the faceless ones to remain faceless that the system functions at all.
Could this be why my Picton Gibbons license has been held back? To put pressure on Francis via me?
Good heavens, no. Nothing so sinister. I just thought, as an old friend and colleague, it might be useful to you to know just how to put the department a little in your debt. They're far more likely to be forthcoming with this and future licenses in return for a small service rendered, don't you think? Let's face it, old chap, that's why you're here, isn't it? To head the queue into Bahrain with your electronic thingamies.
And if I am unable to do this, or refuse even to try, what then?
It's a case of he helps, he who helps, I'm afraid, Stephen. The deal mentioned centers around your own area of activity in the Middle East. It's very much in your own interest that nothing happens to upset the negotiations that are taking place. It really is a very small thing to ask, don't you think? One unimportant interview held back for a month or two. Not exactly a bone breaker, is it?
Why not simply get Harry Rawson to decline the privilege of being interviewed? Wouldn't that solve your problem?
And drive Francis wild with curiosity, thinking him afraid of being interviewed? Far better that it comes from you, Stephen. A little tact, some explanation. Shouldn't be too difficult. Do the best you can. Give me a ring tomorrow. Your license will be waiting on my desk, I promise.
Francis is her own man in this, Gordon. I have no influence over who she chooses to interview.
Will you tell her what I've said and let her decide?
I'll think about it.
Good man, I knew we could rely on you. And it goes without saying, of course, if Francis decides to ignore our request, then we won't hold it against you.
You realize, Gordon, that I have no choice other than to report this conversation to Lord Glengower. I can't imagine he'll be wildly pleased with all this. And since it is he who ultimately approves your consultant's fee, Gordon, I wonder at the wisdom of it all.
No man can serve two masters, Stephen. My first concern must be for the national interest, regardless of how I might be affected personally. Surely Glengower will be most anxious that Francis should lubricate these particular wheels of industry. Isn't that exactly what we're all trying to do, to prevent your wife dropping a spanner in some very delicate works? Why not do what you can to help? Remember, old chap, he helps, he who helps. It's not a bad maxim. Try your best and give me a ring in the morning.
I'll do that, Gordon. And don't be surprised if it's simply to say, Francis says go to hell. Don't bother to see me out. I know my way.
I'll have your license waiting for you here on my desk, Stephen. Miss Crawshaw, get me Geoffrey Teating.
Teating?
Good morning, Minister. I thought you'd be interested to know I've just had Stephen Gilvern with me. He left a moment ago.
Did you do as I asked?
I did, sir.
How did he take it?
Exactly as expected, sir. He's gone off with his breath in his fist to report the matter to Lord Glengower.
Good, good. Everything's moving along very nicely. Keep me posted, Clayton.
Certainly, Minister. Thank you, Minister.
Stephen, my boy.
Hello, sir.
Splendid. Well, you've got to tell me how you got on with friend Clayton this morning, eh? How is the old reprobate? As rotund and avuncular as ever, eh?
More so and less so. In my experience, Lord Glengower, Westminster broadens the seat and narrows the soul of those she calls her own. Clayton's eyes never dropped one inch below my hairline during our entire conversation.
Indeed. I seem to remember his line of vision as traditionally hovering between one's belly button and bow tie. The sight of one's teeth or the flash of one's eye was too much for him. Well, what did he have to say? Did he hand over your Bahrain export license as instructed?
He did not.
No? And why not?
It will be waiting for me on his desk tomorrow morning, provided certain conditions and promises have been obtained.
Conditions and promises? What the devil is a man on about? Getting a bit above himself, isn't he? Our ex-personnel man. Go on, Stephen. I'm all ears, as they say.
I'm sorry to have to bother you with all this, sir. The whole thing is domestic and trivial and really not worthy of your time.
Clayton has withheld your export license. That fact alone is worthy of my time. Now, go on, Stephen.
Well, Francis is to interview Sir Harry Rawson. They would rather that she didn't. It's as simple as that.
They? Who the devil are they?
Well, presumably Clayton is obeying the instructions of the faceless ones who control our destinies. I am to suggest to Francis that she does a neat leapfrog over Harry Rawson and lands on the neck of someone not quite so precious.
And what about Francis? Have you put it to her yet?
No, not yet.
And how will she react, do you suppose?
Well, she might very easily tell me to go and jump in Richmond Pond. At least that is what I hope she tells me to do. I can't help feeling extremely angry at the bloody audacity of these people.
Yes, I quite agree. The freedom of the press isn't just an empty, meaningless phrase, you know. If this sort of manoeuvre is allowed to succeed, we've got a short kick in the pants from a police state.
I'm even prepared not to mention it to Francis. But why should she be made responsible for whether we get our license to export or not? I'm far more inclined to say to the wall with a lot of them.
Yes, on the other hand, of course, there is an awful lot of money involved here. Not only money... men's jobs are at stake. Principles are all very noble, Stephen, when martyrdom is yours alone. I'm not sure we have the right to involve the entire electronic section in defending Frances's right to interview whom she pleases. Are you? You take my point.
If the point wasn't there to be taken, Lord Glengarr, I wouldn't have come to see you in the first place. I have no choice, have I?
It would seem not. I suggest you put the matter to Frances, and you can tell her that I shall make it my personal duty to find out just who put her in this unfortunate position, and that it'll never be allowed to happen again. In the meantime, I think you ought to pop over to Bahrain and see Ahmad Shabake. Time's running out on this one. Oh, Mrs. Sorensen, get Mr. Gilbert on the first available flight to Bahrain, will you?
Very good, sir.
I've arranged a meeting tomorrow with some NATO people as
well. Cancel it. I'll have to wait. I'll give my love to Frances. Tell her to be a good girl and do as she's told. And I will see to it that she gets the entire centre page by the end of the year. And Mrs. Sorensen will give you your tickets on the way out. Thank you for calling, Stephen. Oh, tell Anderson that I'm free now, Mrs. Sorensen.
Yes, sir.
We must have coffee sometime. Next time you're up in town, Stephen, bring Frances along. I'd enjoy that.
Thank you, Lord Glengarr.
You're a silly, rotten nutter, because you're a silly idiot. You're a cheat and a liar.
I'm not a cheat and a liar. You're a cheat and a liar.
It was my prawn and you took it. You're a toad in the hole. Give me back my prawn,
you
old
jackass.
I'll see what you've done.
Well, I'm going to tell Mummy.
Give me back my prawn, you toad.
I hate you.
All right. Who hit whom, with what, and what for?
His name is
not. I know it's in his turn.
She called me a cheat and a liar.
You are a cheat and a liar. No, you took my prawn.
Cease. Right we are. Clean up this mess and put away the chess things, and when you've done that, I'll show you how to play monasteries.
Monasteries? How do you play monasteries?
Lindsay's an abbot, and you, Kelly, you're an abbess. You belong to a silent order of monks and nuns, and the abbess wants to borrow the abbot's lawnmower. The first one to speak is a funky-do. Oh, and that includes you, you hairy monster.
How can I borrow his lawnmower if I can't speak?
You make signs, dear. You make signs.
Someone's coming! Oh, Daddy! Daddy!
Just for a little while. How's my old wounded soldier, then? How all right again, are we?
Have you brought us a present?
A package for you, and a package for you. Now, off you go and open them in your room. Now, go along. Off you go. Hello, old chap. How are you, then? Anyone take any notice of you? Oh, never mind.
Hi.
Oh, hello, Josie. Sorry to drop in on you out of the blue. I haven't had a moment to call.
Oh, I've been expecting you. Frances rang to tell me you're staying the night. Aren't you afraid the roof will blow off the factory or something? Well, there's coffee in the kitchen.
Things have changed since then, I'm afraid, Josie.
You're not staying the night?
Well, I'm afraid not. I have to fly out to Bahrain tonight.
Does Frances know?
No, not yet. I haven't been able to get hold of her.
Oh, Stephen, you have to. Frances will be so disappointed. And the children, I've told them they're coming home with me to bunk up with my lord.
Oh, great, don't change a thing. At least Frances and I will be able to go out for a meal together. Oh, thanks. God, what a day.
You look done in, Stephen. Are you having a hard time?
Well, fairly bloody just at the moment. You look fighting fit, Josie. They haven't carted you off in a gibbering heap like Mrs. Harris here.
Not yet, but there are forces at work on it.
I just bet there are. Lindsay seems all right. Is he over the mumps?
If he isn't, God help us when he is.
Look at that.
Oh, how nice a Dracula outfit.
It isn't a Dracula outfit. It's a nurse's uniform. You're supposed to be dead, Josie. Why don't you fall over?
Why don't I indeed? Now, out. Out. Come on. Out you go. I'm talking to your father.
Will you come and play with us, Daddy? Please, Daddy.
In a minute, when I finish my coffee. Now, off you go, upstairs. I'll be with you in a minute.
Well, come on.
Thanks, Josie.
What for?
For taking the children this evening. It really is important that I talk to Frances. There are things we have to get sorted out.
Oh, come on. Not that hoary old thing about Frances giving up her job to play the role of wife and mother amongst the pit ponies and bards of rural Wales. I'll tell you what, Stephen. Don't order any cheesecake. It'll go right off. Honestly, any fool can do that. An idiot like me can be a wife and mother. All it takes is a little lust and a lot of determination.
I promise not to turn the cheesecake sour by talking about Frances giving up her job, okay?
Inspire her. Tell her you think she ought to swap to Sunday Times. It's a weekly. That way she could stay home and look after her own blooming kids. I mean, what's she got against being a wife and mother?
Josie, what would we do without you?
Live together and claw one another to pieces like any other happily married couple.
Have you finished your coffee, Daddy?
I'm coming. Once more into the breach, dear friend.
If you happen to be on your knees and you find a gold filling belonging to a front tooth, it's mine.
How did you make out with the bishop?
Oh, he was marvellous. He made me feel like something 10 years old come to vandalise the plumbing. I shall do a great job on the bishop.
And what about Sir Harry Rawson? Will you do a great job on him too?
Mad Harry Rawson. Who told you I was interviewing him?
It was mentioned in passing somewhere along the line today.
His office only agreed to the interview this morning. I'm interested to know who's close enough to him to be able to tell you about it minutes after it was arranged. Can you tell me?
Friend of a friend, that sort of thing. How do you rate him? Is he the roaring boy of the boardrooms everyone imagines him to be?
More. Much more. Honest to God, he's got more fiddles going than the Halley Orchestra. I've got a dossier at home built up over the past few months that'll put Harry Rawson and several others into orbit without a spacesuit between them. Who told you about the interview? Oh, well, if you can't tell me, then I won't press you.
As a matter of fact, it was gutless old Gordon Clayton. Remember him? Snivel, snivel, cringe, cringe.
Gordon Clayton? Mm. Well, what do you know?
You find that interesting?
I find it fascinating.
What's going on, Francis? Are you able to tell me?
Does the name Zuki Oppenheimer mean anything to you?
The Finance Corporation of America.
And Arnold Birch?
UPT Investments Limited.
They're up to their lily-white necks in a currency swindle involving Harry Rawson and the moving of sterling out of this country by the ton. Most of it is finding its way to the Middle East. They're manipulating the weak pound against the strong Middle East currencies. And between them, they are making a bomb. None of the profit is showing up back in the BTI books. So, where is the money going? That is what I'm trying to find out. What exactly did Gordon Clayton say to you? Can you remember?
Oh, not hard to remember, Francis. The message was quite straightforward. He said, tell Francis to lay off Harry Rawson.
He said what?
He tried to pressurize me into getting you to drop the Rawson interview.
Did he, by God? That does it. I shall stuff Harry Rawson, Zuki Oppenheimer and Arnold Birch into my washing machine and I'll close the bloody switch. Darling, if you'll let me print what you've just told me, I've got them. Oh, can I do that?
If you have to, Francis, yes.
You said pressurize you. What do you mean, pressurize you?
Let's just say that if you go ahead with your expose, they're not going to strain themselves issuing my Picton Gibbons export license. Okay?
My God, it gets better all the time. How important is that to you, not getting your export license?
Penalty clauses might be invoked for non-delivery of goods. Layoff might result because of snarled-up production lines, or who knows what might happen.
Darling, if you'll give me the story as it stands, I promise you I'll have Gordon Clayton's head on a spike above Traitor's Gate before he knows where he is. Just say that I can do it, and I'll go back to the office right now and start the whole thing going. Oh, can I do it?
Francis, you can do it because it needs to be done, okay? I just need a little time. You must give me a little time.
How much time do you need? 15 minutes? An hour?
Love, there's something I haven't told you. Because of all that happened this morning, I went to head office to talk to Glenn Gower. He suggested that I fly out to Bahrain tonight to talk to our purchasers. We simply have to get more time. Incidentally, he sends his love.
I trust you spat in his eye. In that case, We're not going home when we leave here.
Oh, darling, I'm sorry. I didn't want to tell you earlier because I didn't want to spoil our evening.
Can't it wait just a little while longer? Only until tomorrow. Please, darling.
Listen, it isn't all bad. My plane leaves at 3 a.m. I've booked a room at the Skyways Hotel out at the airport. We'll manage half the night together, okay?
What are we doing here? Why aren't we out at the Skyways Hotel?
We'll finish our meal and be gone. Now, what do you fancy for afters?
The cheesecake looks interesting.
The cheesecake it shall be. Miss? Oh, miss?
Are you awake?
Yes, I'm awake.
It's all my fault, isn't it?
What's all your fault?
The mess you're in. Your snarled up production lines and hundreds of men losing their jobs.
Thousands, darling. Thousands.
All because of me not minding my own stupid business.
That's what being a journalist means, not minding your own business.
I know. I constantly feel like the dormitory sneak, blowing the gaff on Mavis Pringle for stealing jam in the kitchen. Why do I do it, Stephen?
Because your sense of right and fair play transcends all else. How's that?
Say it again. Reassure me.
Your sense of right and fair play transcends all else. Did you know your backbone has 98 vertebrae instead of 97?
I'm not a dinosaur. I demand a recount.
1, 2, 3.
I'll drop it if you like.
Your vertebrae, your 90, or the Harry Rawson interview?
Harry Rawson interview.
Oh, sure.
Not as a journalist. I couldn't do that. I know too much about him. Like the £3 million company service barge intended for the North Sea oil rigs that he's using as a private yacht off Casablanca, for one thing. And that's only one thing. No, I couldn't ignore that. Not as a journalist.
56, 57, 58.
But I could ignore it if I were simply a wife and mother somewhere in Wales. It wouldn't be any of my business then. Oh, would it? You'd get your export license and I could come to bed with you every night. Looks like a fair deal to me.
First Harry Rawson, then you can come to bed with me every night.
He's a condition of entry.
He is.
Poor old Sir Harry. He doesn't really stand much of a chance, does he?
Not really. But no, sorry, you are normal. It is 97.
Oh, good, I'm so relieved. Perhaps you better check.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh. 2 a.m, sir. Your flight leaves in 1 hour. You order two.
Just a minute.
Tell him to go away. Tell him you've decided to go to Hong Kong instead, the day after tomorrow.
Thanks.
You are required to report to dispersal not later than 30 minutes before your flight leaves, sir.
Sure, I understand. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much, sir.
Well, there's something very sinful about tea at 2 in the morning. What is it, do you suppose?
A revealing need for sustenance.
You're right. By George, you're right.
Will you let me come and see you off?
No.
Thank God for that.
There's something wrong here, Francis. There's something wrong.
There's a hell of a lot wrong, Chief. And it's getting wronger all the time.
Can you come in for a minute, Bernie?
Be right with you.
We'll see what Bernard has to say. He's supposed to understand these things. How did you make out with the bishop yesterday?
Oh, fine. I'm enrolled in the Bible class every other Wednesday.
Good. Keep taking the tablets. Come in, Bernard. Sit yourself down.
Thanks.
This Harry Rawson thing we've been researching, how up to date are you?
Bernie knows everything, except what happened yesterday.
What happened yesterday?
Someone tried to put the hex on Francis over the proposed interview.
Do we know who?
The mouthpiece was Gordon Clayton, government backbencher, speaking on behalf of God only knows who. Anything strike you as odd about that?
Depending on the hex, request, threat of violence, what form did it take?
Just a hint, albeit a broad hint, but hint nevertheless. Well?
The surest way in the world to get a journalist to dig deep for an axe is to tell him to lay off, right?
Right. And that, Francis, is what's wrong with it.
The whole thing is a Judas kiss.
Yes, well, maybe they are frightened enough to try to stop you for themselves, but it is just possible that the opposite is what they're really after. Warn you off so that you'll go a damn sight deeper than you might otherwise have done. If you ask me, they're out to get someone.
And it isn't simply Harry Rawson. No, no. The lamps are on him already. There's someone in the government, perhaps.
Could very well be.
What do you want me to do?
What do you think, Bernie? Is now the time to crack this one? Kick him with journalists threatened in corruption probe, that sort of thing?
Before we know who the villains are.
And I haven't been threatened. It's Stephen they tried to reach.
Yes. All right. Carry on playing it the way you have been doing, only with both eyes open for the possible con. We'll wait for something more definite to happen. Yes?
Call for Francis on 7.
Francis? Oh, Josie. No. When was this? How bad is it? My house has been broken into.
Oh, no.
Yes, Josie? Yes. Yes, all right. Keep them there with you until I arrive. I'll be there as quickly as I can. Yes. Yes. I'm on my way. Chief, I have to go home.
Yes, yes.
Josie brought the children home a few minutes ago to find the whole place ransacked.
We didn't have to wait too long for something more definite to happen, did we? How bad is it, Francis?
Apparently the place is torn apart.
Harry, get a car up front to take Francis home immediately.
Right.
Away you go, Francis. If you want any help, let me know.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. How come you didn't know about this, Francis? Weren't you there last night?
Stephen and I spent the night at Skyways Hotel out at Heathrow. Ah. The children were at Josie's place. The house was empty. I'll call you.
Well, now, Bernie, who the hell knew that, do you suppose?
Here, boy! Shift this revolting mess out of my sight. And bring me a cup of coffee. Coffee made with coffee beans. Not that fermented desert sand you were serving in here last night. Well, look alive, lad, look alive.
Yes, sir.
You're not going to eat that poisonous rubbish, are you, Teating?
Oh.
Have you no respect for your stomach, man?
Well, I've hardly had a thing to eat since I left London yesterday, Sir Harry. I'm so hungry I could eat a horse.
That, my dear chap, is precisely what you're doing.
I left word at the desk for Gilvan and Ahmad Shabaki to join us here when they arrive. Is that all right? Or would you rather I dealt with them alone?
What about Oppenheimer and Birch? Where are they?
They're waiting for us at their hotel. I'm keeping them under wraps until we've got the preliminaries over.
What about Stephen Gilvan? Does he know I'm here?
No, Sir Harry. Gilvan doesn't know that you're here.
Well, he's in for a nice little shot then, isn't he? I suppose you know his blasted wife has set the dogs on me.
His wife, Sir Harry?
Frances Gilvan, the columnist woman who writes iconoclastic rubbish in the Daily What's It. She's been raking around half a dozen of the boardrooms that I sit in, researching me for an interview I've agreed to do. It seems she's set herself the task of exercising the fun out of making millions. God help us all.
Yeah, perhaps it's not the millions she reacts to, Sir Harry. Rather the way in which they're made.
Good God, man, I'm a business tycoon, not a self-employed painter and decorator. Of course I misbehave, who doesn't? It's all part of the romance and the glamour of the thing. Would these people give me so much as a sideways glance if it weren't for the fact that I'm known as a man willing to take a chance? They jolly well would not. Panache, dear boy. The vital charisma that produces success like rabbits from a hat. Why, the blasted woman doesn't stick to knitting patterns and jam recipes and leave the world of high finance to those of us who understand it, I'll never know.
Was it wise to agree to the interview in the first place? Shouldn't you have refused?
Say no, and the dogs become wolves at the stroke of a pen. Oh, God knows her dog's a wolf-like enough already. She'd better mind her manners, Teating. I can always take over her husband's factory.
Your coffee, sir.
Yeah.
On the other hand, of course, it may be the opportunity you're looking for to vindicate yourself. God knows there are enough stories circulating about you to fill a book.
Anyone who's ever invested a quid in me has got 2 quid back. She wants to remember that. Only those who bid for 5 quid back get nothing. Greed is the tune we dance to, be it for money or for power. Greed. Yeah, this coffee. It's pure camel dung. Boy!
Oh, Stephen Gilvan and Ahmad Shabaki are arriving now, Sir Harry. What's it to be, alone or together?
Call them over, Teating. I'm about to purchase a little insurance.
Watch what you're doing, Sir Harry. Gilvan is no fool. Excuse me for one moment. Ah, good morning, Stephen. How nice to see you, old chap. And you too, Mr. Shabaki. Do come and join us, won't you?
me, I'm frightened.
Never mind, darling. No one's been hurt.
Who did it, Mummy?
I don't know, my love, but I'm certainly going to find out.
Will you bash them when you do find out?
I will, darling. I'll bash them flat like a beetle.
The fingerprint people are blowing dust all over your bedroom.
Josie, love, take the children to your place and keep them there till I get things sorted out here.
Oh, God, look at the mess.
What were they after, do you suppose?
I've no idea. You two, run and put your coats on and collect your toothbrushes from the bathroom. You're going to stay with Josie for a while.
Yes, Mummy. Come on, Lindsay.
Oh, God.
Oh. Well, have you telephoned Stephen?
No. He'll only come herring home. I know he will, and it might upset his business deal.
To hell with his business deal. What are husbands for? Now pick up the phone and say, come home, I need you. Go along, do as I say.
Do you really think I ought to?
Give me the number. Is Bahrain on STD?
Well, what do you say, Gilvern? Do we have a deal?
Well, give me a few days to report back to my board of directors, Mr. Oppenheimer. You shall have your answer within the week.
Well, I'm afraid that's of no use to us, Gilvern. We need your answer now. This thing has to get airborne.
I'm sorry, gentlemen. I must have time to consult my board of directors.
Is something bothering you, Gilvern?
Oh, not a thing, Sir Harry. I'm delighted that you've singled out my company, but I need time to talk to my production people. There's no earthly point in my taking on work that we cannot complete.
You have forward-loading problems, Mr. Gilvern?
Oh, nothing that a few days won't see sorted out, Mr. Birch. There is a small tangle over licenses for my deal with Mr. Shabaki, but we're managing to put that matter right.
Any problem over licensing, Stephen? I'm always available.
Oh, thank you, Minister. I may have to come to you yet.
Do so, by all means, dear boy.
Having got that sorted out, sign the contract, Gilvern, and stop messing about.
Look, your company won't take kindly to you losing this deal because of some block you have about making a decision, Gilvern.
Well, neither would they take kindly to being committed by me to something they might well regret, Mr. Oppenheimer.
Look, we're offering you this on a plate, Gilvern. No nonsense about tenders, no competition of any kind. Just sign the contract, the whole thing is yours. I mean, we won't even look at your prices. What more do you want?
Time to consider it, Mr. Oppenheimer, that's all.
The man's a fool. If I behaved as you're behaving, I would most certainly never have got where I am.
I cannot be blamed for not wanting to be where you are.
I'm warning you. If you let this one slide, Lord Glengower will have your eyeballs for glass marbles.
Oh, gentlemen, gentlemen, the document on the table, if you please. Stephen, my advice to you as a friend and as a minister of Her Majesty's government is that you should accept this offer in good faith and sign the contract. Yes? Yes, he's here. A call for you from London, Stephen. They're putting it through to the annex.
Thank you, Minister. If you will excuse me for one moment, gentlemen.
Have you ever seen the like? If he has this much trouble making up his mind, it's a wonder he doesn't wet himself three times a day.
Stephen?
Francis?
Darling, the most awful thing has happened. The house has been broken into and ransacked.
Oh, what about the children? Are they all right?
Yes.
Are you all right?
Yes, we're all fine. I'm packing them off to Josie's until we can get things sorted out. Darling, I don't want you to come racing home. There's absolutely nothing you can do. It's just that I thought that you should know what's happened.
Now, listen, I'm being ganged up on and generally pushed into a corner out here, so this is exactly the excuse I need to escape. I'm coming home right away. I'll be there this evening.
Well, if you're sure, Stephen, I really would be glad to have you here.
I'll be on the next flight out of Bahrain.
Right. I'll meet the plane. Bye, love.
Bye. See you soon.
Are you quite sure it's all right for you to have come home like this? What about your delivery dates? Did you get that put right?
Everything's fine, just fine. All right, tell me what happened.
Josie took the kids home first thing this morning to find the house turned upside down. We've spent the day putting it all back together again.
What about the children? Where are they now?
With Josie's sister.
And then the police, what did they say?
Very little. They were there most of the morning.
Well, what did we lose?
Nothing. They took only one thing.
What was that, for God's sake?
The Rawson dossier.
I see. So that was it. All right. How much of a setback is that?
Hardly anything at all. Most of it is etched on my memory.
What names and dates and places I need can easily be dredged up again. There is one snag.
What's that?
Someone tipped the evenings off about it, and they've gone into print with secret papers stolen in raid on home of journalists. It's here on the front page. See for yourself.
And they won't say where they got it from?
Anonymous tip. It means I've had to come on a bit strong with a piece for tomorrow morning. Not naming names or anything. Just hinting at international businessmen with a light garnish of MPs for extra flavouring. Now we've got to see it through to the bitter end, Stephen.
Ask me who I found waiting for me in Bahrain.
Who was waiting for you in Bahrain?
None other than the lad himself, Sir Harry Rawson.
Stephen!
Would you like to know who was out there with him?
Tell me, just tell me.
Zuki Oppenheimer and Arnold Birch.
You're putting me on.
Well, there is more, Francis, there is more. I found myself being hauled off to a meeting with this lot. The meeting I was attending when you telephoned me, and praise be to God that you did. And who was in the chair? Geoffrey Teating, Minister for Overseas Development.
Isn't it surprising what crawls out of the woodwork when you bang on the walls with a hammer?
Hang on, Francis. I've been thinking about this all the way home on the plane. If Teating knows what these boys are up to, would he openly align himself with them at a meeting with me? I think not.
Oh, and you know it. They're laying a trap for you, Stephen, and you're walking into it with both eyes wide open. Oh, don't be an idiot.
It isn't as simple as that, Francis. I have to put this up to my board of directors, and believe me, they won't be interested in your war with Harry Rawson.
And Oppenheimer, and Birch, and maybe even Geoffrey Teating. Sign this contract, and you'll find yourself involved right up to your neck.
Oh, really?
Listen, you have my full permission to tell your board of directors everything that's been going on. You need leave them in no doubt whatsoever as to the kind of men they're dealing with. Will you do that, Stephen?
You write your column and I'll run my business, okay? This is the biggest single contract we've ever had, Francis. I have 3,000 men's jobs to think about. Ethics have to be on a sliding scale in order to survive.
There isn't a hell of a lot to choose between you, is there? You're like a lot of grubby little boys, stuffing marbles into leather bags, everyone frantic to get more than his fair share. You make me sick.
All right. What am I to say to my board of directors? Here is a £10 million contract, but I don't think we'll take it because my wife doesn't like the sound of it. Oh, come on, Francis, come on. There's nothing wrong with the contract. You can print the whole thing on the front page of the Christian Herald if you want to. Oh. If getting my company involved was an attempt to buy you off, then it didn't work. I cut and ran before they had time to put the screws on. You can blast Harry Rawson off the face of the earth for all I care. Well, go ahead. Do it, why don't you?
I'm going to have to, aren't I? I have no choice. Let's hope I don't have to blast you off the face of the earth right along with him. It stinks, Steve. And you know it.
If I can find out who is behind all this, and you can get the whole thing cleared up, will that satisfy you? I can go ahead running my business without any further interference.
How do you propose to do that? I've been at it for months, and all I've managed to do is to get my house burgled and you into a hell of a lot of trouble.
When you think of it, everything that's happened so far has conspired to push this thing out into the open. Even right up to the tipping off of the evening papers about the break-in and the stolen dossier. So, what does that mean? Well, it means it can't be any of the men you've been dealing with. They've all got too much to lose and a hell of a lot to hide. So, it must be someone else. Someone who wants this lot busted. But who?
One man knows. And that's for sure.
And who's that?
Gordon Clayton. The man who started the whole thing going. How much does your company pay him as a consultant?
$5,000 a year. Hey, that's an idea.
Stop his money. Sack him for his performance towards you yesterday. Would it work?
Of course it'll work. Friend Clayton's a greedy, grasping little man. There's not much he won't do for money.
Then go to it. But he talks to me, all right? Don't let him give you any information, because I don't want to have to one day reveal you as my source of supply. Okay?
Right. Come on, let's go and collect the kids.
Mr. Steele on two, please. call for Mr. Steele on two.
Will you look at these old Gustavus galleys, Francis? They're yelling for them downstairs.
You do them, Harry. I trust you, okay? Only watch out for Olga spelt with a V.
Features. Yes, she's here. For you, Francis.
Francis.
Miss Gilvan, it's Gordon Clayton.
Get this on tape, Harry.
Right.
Hello, Mr. Clayton.
I'd like to talk to you, Miss Gilvan. Can we meet?
Suggest a time and a place, Mr. Clayton, and I'll be there.
I'll be in the bar of the Bush Hotel in Brunswick Street at 9 o'clock this evening.
I'll be there, Mr. Clayton. Success, Harry. The enemy are offering terms of surrender.
Great.
Can you come in, Francis?
I'm on my way.
Sit down, Francis.
Something wrong, Chief?
The lark ascendeth, Francis. I just had the head of the Serious Crimes Division on. He read your article this morning on yesterday's robbery. He wants you in his office at 12 noon.
Great.
Yes. How ready are you to let this thing go?
Let's say I'll be a damned sight readier tomorrow. I'm meeting Gordon Clayton in the bar of the Bush Hotel in Brunswick Street at 9 o'clock this evening. Mm-hmm. He's yelling, I want to tell all.
Well, how did you manage that?
Stephen hit him where it hurts most, in his wallet.
Come in.
Ah, good. The two of you.
Yeah, I was about to call you, Bernie. The police are moving in on this Harry Rawson thing.
Fine, fine. That makes what I have to tell you even more interesting.
And that is?
After what happened to Stephen yesterday, I've been taking a look at Geoffrey Teating's background. He's a director-elect of the board of BTI.
Huh?
His sponsor is Harry Rawson.
You know something, fellas? I'm really beginning to enjoy myself.
What have you got on Teating so far, Francis? Does he feature in anything you've dug up?
Not a thing. No mention of Geoffrey Teating until he showed up chairing the meeting in Bahrain yesterday. I've just thought of something. Stephen is reporting to his board of directors right now. He should know about this. Do you mind if I call him?
Go right ahead.
You don't seem to be too enthusiastic about this project, Mr. Chairman. Am I mistaken, or would you care to explain?
You are not mistaken, Peter. I must admit to a certain disquiet over the personalities involved.
Mm-hmm.
The contract itself is sound enough. Our associates are perhaps not all that we would wish them to be.
Meaning, sir?
Don't press me for details, gentlemen, but I happen to know that a row is about to break in London. Within the space of the next few days, certain men will be accused of malpractice that cannot help but result in criminal charges being brought against them. Now, these same men are contributors to the government contract that we have before us. I genuinely believe that the two areas are in no way connected, and at no time have we behaved in anything other than the most proper manner. But it is a fact of life that unpleasantness is inevitable for those who knowingly associate with villains. If you please, gentlemen.
Well, damn it, Stephen, you can't leave it there. I mean, who are they? What the devil have they been up to?
Well, you'll find out who they are soon enough for yourselves. As to what they've been up to... Oh, misappropriation of company funds, contravention of the currency laws, breaking and entering, theft of incriminating documents, bribery, extortion. I think that will do to be going on with. Excuse me. Yes?
Mrs. Gilvern is on the line, sir.
Ah, yes, I think I know what it is she wants. Tell her I'll call her the moment I'm free.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, gentlemen.
But you found nothing wrong with the contract itself, Mr. Chairman.
This is a government contract offered to us, and in a much bigger way, to others. Quite frankly, it's the others I'm worried about. But I can only quote Geoffrey Teating, Minister for Overseas Development, who said in the presence of Ahmad Shabaki, "As a friend and as a minister of Her Majesty's government, I advise you to accept this contract." Well, you must judge for yourself.
Well, that's good enough for me. Yeah, I mean, damn it, Stephen, if we limit ourselves to dealing only with honest men, we'd be out of business in a fortnight.
The subtle difference being, Charlie, most dishonest men of our acquaintance manage to stay out of prison.
Ah, yes, point taken.
What do you advise us to do then, Mr. Chairman?
Well, ideally, we should play for time. We should wait until this thing breaks in London and then sign the contract. No previous involvement. If we do that, however, there is a risk that we will lose the offer.
A big risk, Mr. Chairman.
Quite a substantial one, I'd say. The offer might easily be withdrawn. Even government ministers are capable of retributive pique. Teating has gone to considerable lengths to push this in our direction.
To hell with what people will say. There are 2 years continuous work for this factory involved here. We can't afford to let that go. Not simply on a matter of principle, anyway. Yes. I propose that we sign the contract.
You are putting that proposition to the meeting? Yes. That we accept the contract?
I am.
Do I have a seconder for that?
Yes.
Thank you. Seconded by Mr. Godbeer. All in favour?
Yes.
Thank you, gentlemen. Since we are all agreed that it is a matter of considerable importance that we secure this promise of work, I will sign on your behalf. Yes?
Mrs. Gilvern is still on the line, sir. She says that it's very important that she speaks to you.
Ask her to hold on one moment longer, Miss Cruz. I'm coming through.
Yes, sir.
If there is no further business, gentlemen, I will declare this meeting closed.
Right.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll take a phone call in my office. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, Stephen.
Francis? I'm sorry, my love. I was in a board meeting. You called to tell me Gordon Clayton telephoned you. Am I correct?
Yes, he has, but that's not why I called. Darling, don't sign that contract.
Why not?
Teating is in this right up to his neck. He's the director-elect of the board of BTI, and Harry Rawson is his sponsor. I've got a meeting with the head of the Serious Crimes Division at noon. Whatever you do, Stephen, don't sign that contract. Stephen?
It's too late, Francis. The contract was signed 2 minutes ago.
Stephen, you fool. I warned you. I told you last night that the whole thing was as bent as a hairpin. Now, what the hell am I going to do?
Thank you, Francis.
Is something wrong, sir?
There is a great deal wrong, Miss Cruz. Very wrong indeed.
That's nice. That really is nice. A journalist who exposed her own husband.
If you want out, Francis, just say the word. You can hand the whole thing over to Bernie.
I can't get out, can I? I opened my mouth oven-wide in my column this morning. The chief of the Serious Crimes Division wants to talk to me, remember?
Yes.
Now, the car's outside to take Francis to a 12 o'clock meeting.
Thanks, Harry. Right, I'm on my way. Wish me luck.
Good luck, Francis.
Very well, young woman. What have you got to say for yourself?
How about... Sorry I was burgled. I'll try not to let it happen again.
Is this yours? Do you recognize it?
Hey, that's my dossier. It was you who burgled my house.
This was addressed to me and arrived through the post this morning. It contains some 20,000 words of closely typed libel on the supposed criminal activities of a group of businessmen and MPs, which, if substantiated, would send them all to prison for a very long time indeed. The only issue at doubt is who will be in prison the longest. You or them?
Me? What have I done?
Withheld information on criminal activities from the rightful authority. Permitted acts prejudicial to the public good to go unchecked. Condoned criminal acts by maintaining silence. Made facsimile copies of private and confidential papers not intended for your perusal. Committed countless libelous statements to paper with intent to publish same. The people named having not yet been accused of any malpractice by the rightful authority. Shall I go on?
No, I confess. Where do I sign? I'm taking up sheep farming.
Were it not for the fact, young woman, that we already have a dossier on these gentlemen that is twice as long as yours and twice as juicy, I would be very cross with you indeed.
But you're not. You're just telling me off because I'm young and stupid and wildly sexy. That's it, isn't it? Can I go now?
Tell me, why do you suppose whoever it was stole this dossier from your house sent it on to me? Why do you think they did that?
Well, I really couldn't say. Perhaps they thought you'd put it up for Book of the Month Club. No?
It's almost as though they were afraid you weren't going to print this after all. And being right-minded citizens, they sent it on to the rightful authority. Me. How does that grab you?
No, I like my Book of the Month Club theory better.
It's as though they knew you'd been blackmailed into silence and had agreed to suppress all this in order to cover up for someone. Now, there's the thought.
You really should take up journalism, Inspector. You can invent such colourful lies about people. Can I have my dossier? I want to go now. I have an appointment with my dentist. I'd hate to miss it. I'm so short on fun these days.
Tell me what you know that I don't know, and I'll let you go. Okay?
How do I know what you don't know? Maybe your mother wasn't all that frank with you. You've got the bit about the birds and the bees,
Mm-hmm. Would you like me to book you as an alien witness?
Ignore me. It's a nervous trick I've got. When threatened with extinction, I make jokes. Look, I'm not covering up for anyone. All I know is written down right there in front of you. I intend to publish every word of it, and if I'm wrong, I'll be happy to go to jail, as long as you bring me my breakfast. Can I go now?
You can go. But I tell you something, Francis. If you're withholding information from me, I'll bring you breakfast, all right. Bread and water, every third morning, okay?
It's a deal. Only make it wholemeal, thinly sliced. I'm going. Don't hit me. I bruise easily.
How'd you get on, Francis?
Great. He asked me questions, took my knee prints. It's some new science they're developing down there.
How much did you have to tell him?
Oh, he found the bit about the birds and the bees pretty interesting.
Come in. What's the matter, Harry? You look sick.
I just had a phone call for Francis.
For me, Harry?
Someone came on the line and said, tell Francis Gilvern if she knows what's best for her children, she'll drop it now before it's too late. And hung up.
Oh, Christ, no.
Francis? I'm home.
Oh, Daddy!
What are you two doing up at this time? Why aren't you in bed?
Mummy, let us go out towards Starsky Nutch. Daddy, we have burglars.
A mess. You should have seen the mess. When they catch them, Mummy's going to bash them with her collar.
I just bet she is. Eh?
Come along, you two. I want to chat with Daddy. Up the apples and pears.
Oh, no. Can't we stand so you did it?
You can take the portable with you and can watch in Kelly's room. Mm. Go along.
Go on. Off with you. That sign next to the wall.
Hi.
Hi. Are you all right?
I am now. Have you eaten?
But I drove straight through.
I thought you might. I've got something hot.
How did you get on with the Director of Public Prosecutions?
Head of Serious Crimes. We haven't reached the prosecutor yet.
Well, whoever. How did you get on?
I'm hoping to be allowed to plead guilty but insane. Eat it while it's hot.
Oh, great, I'm famished. No, but seriously, tell me what happened.
We've been working along parallel lines. Some things you didn't know, but not many.
Like Teating being on the board of BTI, for instance.
Not mentioned.
And you didn't volunteer the information, is that it?
When they ask, I answer. They don't ask, I don't answer.
I'm hoping to keep Geoffrey Teating out of it in order to keep me out of it.
You run your business, I'll write my column, okay?
Touché. Oh, what about Gordon Clayton?
I was to have met him in the Bush Hotel in Brunswick Street half an hour ago. Bernie went instead of me. I wasn't leaving the children, not even to talk to Gordon Clayton. What about tomorrow? Can you stay with them?
I have an appointment with Teating at 11 about my licensing snarl-up. Can't you stay home? Do you have to go to the office?
I go off boom in the first edition. Names, dates, places, the full black eye treatment for everyone down to the office cat. The first reaction will be a writ for libel from Rawson's solicitor. But that won't stick for long because he's going to be arrested the moment he sets foot back in the country.
Josie will have to keep the children on the move until one of us is free to take over. The Zoo, British Museum, Houses of Parliament. Oh, no, not the Houses of Parliament. What about Oppenheimer and Birch? What's happening to them?
They're throwing the book at the lot of them. They've been watching this currency fiddle for the past 2 years. Wormwood Scrubs is going to be like open day at the CBI. Who on earth can that be?
Oh, stay here, Francis. Let me.
Bernie, old son.
Hello, Stephen.
What brings you here? Silly question. I know what brings you here. Go along through. Francis is in the kitchen.
Oh, thanks, Stephen.
Hi, Bernie.
Hello.
A cup of coffee? I was just making one for Stephen.
Oh, please.
You don't mind if I carry on eating, Bernie. I've just driven up from South Wales.
Oh, please. No, please. Go right ahead.
Is something wrong, Bernie? Where's the grin of triumph? I don't seem to see any brush or mask hanging from your belt. Didn't Clayton show up?
He showed up all right. Only not in the bar of the Bush Hotel.
Where, then?
Dead on the pavement outside.
Gordon Clayton dead?
What happened, Bernie?
I was sitting there, sipping my pint, waiting for him, when there's one hell of a screech of brakes from outside. Everyone rushed out, including me, of course. There's Clayton, in several pieces, on the pavement.
What happened?
He'd been hit by a minicab. Story is, a kid ran out, the driver swerved to avoid him, mounted the pavement, and clobbered Gordon Clayton.
Witnesses?
Two, a man and a woman.
Did you talk to them?
Yep. Seemed clean. Ordinary little man and wife.
What about the minicab driver? Did you talk to him?
Not yet. The police have taken the car to Hammersmith Police Station to run the rule over it. I'm going back there now to see if I can talk to him.
How do you rate it, Bernie? Was it an accident or was it something else?
How can you possibly say? Unless the police come up with something, it'll go in the book as an accident.
Some accident.
Well, these things happen, Francis.
I'll get it.
Let me get you something a little stronger than coffee, Bernie. You look done in.
Thanks, Stephen. I could use it. God, you should have seen the mess.
Here, drink this.
Thanks.
This makes me even more nervous over the threat to the children.
If you'd seen what I've just seen, you'd take it very seriously indeed. Can't you pack them off to the country for a while?
Well, they stay where we can see them. Tomorrow, Josie keeps them on the move.
I take your point.
Who was it, Francis?
McMahon. The police inspector I talked to this morning. Offenheimer and Birch were arrested at Heathrow Airport 15 minutes ago.
What about Harry Rawson? Didn't they nobble him?
He wasn't with them. He's snug as a bug in Bahrain.
Or on his way to Brazil in his BTI yacht.
Well, now what?
I don't know about you two, but I'm on my way to Hammersmith Police Station.
All we can do is mount guard over the kids and wait for Francis' article to go snap, crackle and pop tomorrow morning.
This is incredible. Unbelievable. Where on earth does she get her facts from, Stephen?
Well, to quote Francis, Minister, it's surprising what crawls out of the woodwork when you bang on the walls with a hammer.
I went into the house this morning, and not knowing a thing about this, of course, expecting to discuss Aubrey's land sales declaration bill. And the place is in an uproar. Everyone waving copies of Francis's article, screaming for an inquiry, the government backpedaling like mad. But the cold, grey facts remain. The girl is right. Birch and Oppenheimer have already been arrested and they're hell-bent to get their hands on Harry Rawson. God, Stephen, to think that only a couple of days ago you and I sat in a meeting with these very men in Bahrain. It jolly well makes you think, doesn't it?
Does indeed.
It's the awful duplicity of these men that upsets me most. One tries to do one's best for everyone and this is what one gets. And quite frankly, Stephen, it doesn't do to have this sort of thing happening in politics. Too many daggers to one's back, don't you know? All very embarrassing. Extremely embarrassing.
I'm sorry to have to bother you about my licensing problems at a time when you have much greater worries to contend with, Minister.
Oh, not at all, my dear chap. Life must go on in spite of the Rawsons of this world. I've already telephoned the department concerned with your Bahrain shipments, and you'll get your license this morning.
Oh, thank you, Minister. It really is most kind of you.
Actually, I'm rather glad of this chance to talk to you, Stephen. Certain matters keep thrusting their way to the forefront of my mind. Things that have to be discussed and got right, especially in the light of this morning's shindig. We have to get through this thing unscathed, you and I. Stick together at all costs, if you take my meaning.
Well, I'm sorry, I'm not quite clear about what you're...
The Bahrain aerospace contract must go forward. If it's allowed to die, it'll be seen as part of the general stink that's rising. We must avoid that at all costs.
Indeed.
I shall see to it personally that whoever takes this thing forward is thoroughly briefed as to your absolute innocence in all this. You need have no fear of that.
Oh, thank you, Minister. I'm sure my company will feel most reassured. Naturally, I'm sorry to hear that you won't be completing the deal yourself.
It seems unlikely just at the moment. Certain other considerations are arising that'll make it impossible for me to do so. I would have been happy to hand the whole thing over to Gordon Clayton. But the poor chap got run over and killed last night. I suppose you heard about that.
Yes, I was told.
A most promising chap, Clayton. He would have been the Prime Minister's obvious choice to fill my place in his cabinet when I leave. Sad. Very sad indeed.
You are leaving the cabinet?
Not immediately. Not until the general brouhaha has died down, at least. You must tell Francis to take great care when putting pen to paper about all this. One word to connect either of us with Rawson, Oppenheimer or Birch would damn us both completely. And since neither of us is guilty of any involvement here, that would be a pity, don't you agree?
Indeed.
She cannot mention one without mentioning the other, since our activities are inextricably linked in all this. To damage me would be to damage you equally. Not that she would ever dream of hurting you, of course.
Has your resignation anything to do with the row over Rawson, Oppenheimer and Birch?
Only indirectly. I've been asked to take over the chairmanship of BTI in the place of Harry Rawson. I'm leaving politics to join you fellows in industry. There. How does that strike you, Stephen? You look surprised.
Yes. I must admit I am a little. I thought you had your sights set in a different direction.
Politics is a squalid business, Stephen. Quite frankly, I'm glad to be out of it. This hasn't been an overnight decision, you understand. It's been on the cards for some time that I should replace Harry Rawson as the head of BTI. And you see now how important it is that Francis doesn't make a mess of things for either of us.
You need have no worry on Francis' account, Minister. We will get nothing but fair play from Francis.
Splendid, good man. I knew I could rely on you. I'm sure we'll be able to help each other tremendously in the future.
Excuse me, Minister. The car has arrived to take you to your 11 a.m. meeting with Lord Glengower.
Yes, thank you, Miss Bardo. I'm just leaving. I am sorry, Stephen. I must dash. I've got a meeting with my future boss. Oh, of course he's your boss, too, isn't he? How very cosy. Well, anything I can do for you before I leave office, you have but to ask.
Thank you, Minister.
A mustache. And don't worry, Stephen. I shall keep your name well and truly out of this.
Hi.
Hi, Francis.
Have you been here long?
Oh, 5 minutes. One cup of coffee and one sticky bun.
Thanks. It's nice to see that some things stay the same in this old changing world.
What about the children?
I dropped them off at Kew Gardens with Josie on my way to the office. You talk and I'll munch. Mm. How'd you get on with Keating? God, I'm starving.
He's resigning from the cabinet to take over as head of BTI in place of Harry Rawson.
He told you that? He sat there and told you that?
Take it easy.
It has to be Teating. He got rid of Harry Rawson to land his job. The whole thing begins to make sense.
Anyway, he went to great lengths to point out how inextricably our destinies are linked in all this. To mention him is to mention me, to damage him is to damage me. Not, he hastened to add, would you ever dream of hurting me?
Blackmail, by God.
Well, we parted the best of friends, promising with our hands on our hearts to support one another to the death. I wouldn't trust him as far as the gents.
How are we going to get him? That's the question.
Well, you can't. Not unless you fancy seeing me behind bars along with the rest of them. It's just as well that Teating is getting out of politics, otherwise he'd have been kicked out. There was a tremendous row in the House of Commons this morning. Inquiries being called for, heads rolling, and all because of your column. Teating shot off to present his side of the story to our now mutual boss, Lord Glengower, just as I was leaving.
Hey, of course. He'll come under the group chairman like everyone else now, won't he? God, what I wouldn't give to know what's being said in there right now.
You have exceeded your brief, Keating. You bungling, incompetent fool. I want no part of it.
My brief, Lord Glengower, was to expose the wrongdoing of Sir Harry Rawson, Oppenheimer and Birch, and to get myself installed as the head of BTI. This is what you asked me to do, and this is what I have done.
Never at any time did I tell you that you were to achieve your goal at any cost. You may consider that your means justify your end, but by God, your means they shall remain. Burglary, blackmail and murder are not weapons to be found within my armory, sir. If this thing crashes about your head, you'll get no help from me. You will take the fullest responsibility for your own damn fool actions.
Everything that has taken place, Lord Glengower, was necessary to protect you from any possible involvement. Gordon Clayton knew of your behind-the-scenes presence and was about to tell Francis Gilvan, the columnist. It was necessary to prevent him doing this.
It was necessary to protect your own miserable skin, Keating. I'm not a complete damn fool, you know, but I'll tell you this. One fleck of dirt leaves your person and lands on me, and you won't last long as the head of BTI.
I shall make it my personal aim, Lord Glengower, to see that you are never at any time mentioned in connection with the events that have taken place.
Good. We understand one another.
Perfectly, sir.
And then understand something else. This and all previous conversations relating to this subject did not take place.
No, sir.
Good. Well, you may go.
Thank you, sir.
Conteating.
Yes, Lord Glengower.
Get Gilvan's wife out of my hair. And get it right for once. There's a good chap.
Have I your permission to do whatever is necessary to achieve this, sir?
As long as you don't tell me about it, you can do as you damn well like.
Thank you, sir.
The children! It's the children! Oh, Francis, I've lost the children!
Where are you, Josie?
Baker Street. We just come out of the planetarium. They asked for an ice cream and I got some at a kiosk. When I turn round to give it to them, they gone. Francis, what am I going to do?
Stay right where you are, Josie. We'll be right with you.
What's happened?
They've got the children. Harry, call Inspector McMahon. Tell him the children have been abducted from outside the planetarium. Come on, Bernie. You're coming with us.
Where can he reach you?
Where, Stephen? Where?
We'll pick Josie up in Baker Street and we'll go straight home. We have to stay close by the telephone. Now, come on.
Right here. I bought three cornets and when I turned to give them to him, they're gone. Oh, Francis, forgive me. I'm so sorry.
Did you notice anyone following you? Anyone at all?
No, no one. I've kept my eyes wide open all day and there was no one. Oh, why did I agree to take them? Why did you ask me, Francis? You should never have asked me.
I know, love, I know. It's all my fault. Now, please, try not to upset yourself.
If anything happens to those children, I shall never forgive myself.
I talked to the lady in the kiosk. She didn't even see the children. All she remembers is Josie screaming.
The thing to do is to get home as quickly as we can and let the police handle it. You too, Bernie. We need all the support we can get. You spent an hour in Kew Gardens, and then what did you do?
We caught a bus to the West End. Kelly wanted to go to Selfridge's.
All the time holding the children?
Tight, tight. One in each hand. I never let go of them, not for one second.
Only long enough to pay for the ice cream in Baker Street.
What am I going to do? What am I going to do?
Here, Josie, love, drink this.
Oh, I don't want it, Bernie, thank you.
Do as I say, girl, and drink it.
Oh, where are they? Why don't they contact us and get it over with?
For as long as they haven't contacted us, my bet is that the children are all right. It's after they've contacted us that we're in trouble.
Oh, surely to God there's something we can do.
Just let me have the children back and I swear to God I'll never write another word as long as I live. Let me! Francis Gilvan speaking. Yes, Inspector. Thank you for telling me. No. We won't move one inch from the telephone. Yes, we'll be here. McMahon. He's coming over. It seems the Royal Navy boarded Rawson's BTI yacht and have taken it to Gibraltar on a phony smuggling charge. That's the end of Mad Harry's little caper.
We can't just sit here, for God's sake.
The only possible protection in a situation like this is counter-pressure.
How do you mean, Stephen?
Well, are we agreed that the man behind this must be Geoffrey Teating?
Oh, it has to be Teating. Everyone else is under lock and key.
Well, if he did, in fact, murder Gordon Clayton, then he must have hired the minicab driver to do the killing for him. Am I correct?
No other way.
Well, what if the minicab driver went bad on him? Offered to sell Francis his story?
You think I haven't tried that already? I was after him first thing this morning. Nothing. Not a hope. McMahon reckons that if it was a killing, then the driver is probably a professional assassin in the pay of the Secret Service. Oh, you can put a man like that on the rack and you'll get nothing out of him.
All right. In that case, we'll use a double bluff. Now, you talk to the minicab driver, Bernie. How closely could you imitate his voice?
Well, I'd have a fair old try, Mr. Gilvan. Do me best, like.
Right, Bernie. This is what I want you to do.
Teating.
Joe Batcup here, Mr. Teating.
Oh, what the devil do you mean by ringing me here? Damn it, Batcup, what do you want?
Sorry about that, Mr. Teating. Only something's come up that you ought to know about. I'm meeting a certain lady journalist in the bar of the Bell and Grapes in Hampden at 8 o'clock this evening.
Why the devil didn't you refuse to meet her?
I couldn't, could I? Otherwise, she'd think I had something to hide, wouldn't she? Which I haven't, so it doesn't matter, does it? I just thought it might be as well if we met beforehand, just to make sure the story's neat and tidy like.
Oh.
I'll be in the Bell and Grapes from 7 on, if you'd like to drop in for a bit of a chat. What do you say, Mr. Teating?
Yes, all right, I'll be there. What about the Gilvan children? Have you got that matter in hand?
All tucked up as snug as a couple of bugs in a rug, Mr. Teating. Everything's under control.
Be sure you do what you have to before you meet their mother this evening.
Righty-ho, Mr. Teating. You just leave everything to me.
It worked! It worked! We've got him! All we have to do is to be in the Bell and Grapes with Inspector McMahon at 7 this evening, and we've got him.
Did he say anything about the children?
Be sure you do what you have to do before you meet their mother this evening.
Oh, God, no!
Listen, at least now we know that the minicab driver has them. We've simply got to get to him.
But how? Oh, Stephen, I'm frightened. Here come the police now.
He has, in effect, admitted his complete involvement, Inspector, and told us who has got the children. Joe Batcup, the minicab driver who killed Gordon Clayton last night.
Please, Inspector McMahon,
You've got to stop him. Teating has told him to do something to them before he meets me in the Bell and Grapes at 7 o'clock tonight. Please, you've got to stop him.
Now, leave this to me. Get out to the Bell and Grapes and wait for me there. I'll try to meet you there in time to welcome Teating.
Josie, stay by this telephone. Bernie, you get back to the office in case contact is made there. Come on, Stephen, you and I are going to the Bell and Grapes. Stephen, where is he? Where's Inspector McMahon? Oh, what time is it?
It's 7:05.
Why don't we hear anything? Supposing Teating doesn't show up. What if he's found out that we tricked him this afternoon and something has happened to the children?
He's here now.
Teating?
No, Inspector McMahon. He's seen us. Now, play it quietly, okay? Don't go shouting the place down. Oh.
Any sign of him?
No, not yet. The children, Inspector. Have you found the children? Tell me quickly.
Relax, Mrs. Gilbert. Everything is fine. The children are unharmed. They're on their way home in the back of a police car.
Oh, thank God. Oh, thank you, Inspector. Thank you. I'll never say another unkind thing about a policeman for as long as I live. Where did you find them?
At Joe Batcup's mother's house in Battersea. We've arrested Batcup on a charge of abducting. That'll hold him for a while. Now, listen, we've only got a few minutes. Stephen, you go and stand behind the door there so that if Teating shows up and decides to back out, you'll be there to stop him.
Right.
Mrs. Gilvern, I think we owe it to you to let you make the approach, okay?
Oh, please, God, let him come. Please, God.
This is it, Mrs. Gilvern. He's here now.
Oh, a large whiskey and American dry, barman, please.
Certainly, sir. With ice?
No ice.
Good evening, Mr. Teating.
Oh, good evening. I'm sorry, do I know you?
You know my husband, I believe. My name is Frances Gilbert.
Oh, upon my soul, Stephen's writer wife. Delighted to meet you, my dear. I've been looking at some development in the area. I thought I'd just pop in for a noggin.
Allow me to introduce you to Inspector McMahon of the Serious Crimes Division, Minister. Inspector, this is Geoffrey Teating.
Geoffrey Teating, I arrest you for the murder of Gordon Clayton. Anything you say will be taken down and may be used in evidence against you. Stop him, Stephen!
Come on! Allow me! I told the kids I'd bash the one who did it, and I did!
Mummy, we came home in a police car with the siren going. We've been staying in the house with a very old lady. Yeah. She gave us corned beef sandwiches.
Did she, darling? How absolutely marvelous. Have you got a hug for your old mum?
All right now, Josie.
Now, another 2 minutes and I'd have joined La Harris in the gibbering heat again. Poor Josie, we've given you a really hard time of it. I'm sorry, love. Are we forgiven?
Oh, sure, why not? Usually the highlight of my day is watering my rubber plant. All of this makes a change.
All right, you two. Back to your milk and biscuits. Your mother and father in need of a long, strong drink and a sit down. Come along.
A policeman gave me his whistle, Daddy. He said if anyone tries to take us off again, all I got to do is blow it.
You do that, old chap, loud and long. Well, Mrs. Gilvern, have you had enough of being a crime buster? Are you ready to settle for the Women's Guild and the annual flower show?
No deadlines, datelines, or threats of violence. God, what bliss.
Oh. I'll get it.
You mean it? You'll bring the children to South Wales to a life of sanity and order?
It really is very tempting.
It's for you, Frances.
Coming.
It's your editor, I think. Thanks. Chief? Yes? Everything is fine. No bones broken and all the villains under lock and key. When? Where? Tonight? Yes. Yes, all right. Leave it to me and I'll see what I can do.
Now what?
Terrorists have taken the British ambassador hostage in Ankara. They're under siege in a back street hotel. There's a car coming for me in 15 minutes. I'm flying out in an RAF jet. Josie, be a love and let the kids bunk up with your lot tonight. I'll be back tomorrow. I promise.
What about me? I thought we were going out for a meal to celebrate.
We will when I get back. We'll celebrate twice when I get back. My passport. Oh, where the hell is my passport?
I'll get it.
Darling, I'm sorry. We'll talk about South Wales when I've done this one last assignment, okay?
Here we go again.
In Lord of the Dance by Michael Davis, you heard Jeremy Clyde as Stephen Gilvern and Denise Breyer as Frances Gilvern. The part of Kelly, their daughter, was played by Penelope Reynolds, who also played Mavis and Miss Barlow, and Lindsay, their son, by Heather Bell, who also played Miss Crawshaw and the Bellboy. Josie, Carol Marsh, Harry Gould, Malcolm Gerrard, The editor, Alan Dudley, Miss Cruz, Mary Nelson, who also played Mrs. Sorensen and the voice in the Tannoy, Gordon Clayton, MP, Preston Lockwood, Geoffrey Teating, Gerald Cross, Lord Glengarr, Hector Ross, Bernie, Jonathan Scott, Sir Harry Rawson, Victor Lucas, Zuki Oppenheimer, Rod Beecham, who also played the second director and the barman, Arnold Birch, Michael Tudor Barnes, who also played the first director,